Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Lots of Kansas Cityans have thoughts on what a new airport terminal should look like and whether we need one to begin with. The Star's Yale Abul Haq is with us this morning to give us an update. We'll also talk with Yale about a whole host of issues dominating the city these days, from Mayor Sly James's performance in office as he reaches the midpoint of his term in office, to the ongoing problems of his son Kyle, local control of the police department, and the need for a downtown convention hotel, and a whole bunch more. Yale Abul Haq is a longtime member of the Star's editorial board. He's a star of the weekly food fight, Ruckus, on KCPT. Yale, welcome. So good to have you here.
It's good to be here, Steve.
Well, are you convinced that Kansas City needs a new airport terminal, Yale?
I'm not convinced. I will say up front, I'm leaning that way. I think, you know, you have an airport that's 40 years old. It will be 45 or maybe even almost 50 by the time a new terminal would get done. So, you know, these times do change. Security procedures have changed. The needs of airlines have changed. And frankly, the needs of passengers have changed. So Kansas City in many ways is out of date with its airport. So that's probably the pro side of I'm looking at probably more positively on an airport than many people are. The sticking point I have is, yeah, sure, the current airport is very convenient to get in and out of. Next week when I want to fly out at 6:30 a.m., my daughter will drop myself and my wife off, and we'll walk in the airport and, you know, 5 minutes later be in line to get onto the plane. That's very convenient.
Not a bad thing.
So, you know, it serves that function well. What I do like to remind proponents is that that's not the only function of an airport, to be dropped off and get onto a plane. There are people who connect here. There are people whose flights are late and they have to sit there and, you know, there's no food. The restrooms are generally hard to get to and without going in and out of security again. So there are a lot of probably little things that add up to something that, well, we at least ought to take a look at building a new airport. And the final thing I'll say is, at least on the precursor side, is the city has done an absolute pathetically poor job of promoting why we need a new terminal.
And why? I mean, what happened there?
I think, well, Mark Manlow, who's the aviation director.
He's been here
director,
talking, making his pitch.
Right. He was here making his pitch. But 2 years ago when they made the initial pitch, and I remember to this day coming into the editorial board, it was basically, well, we are going to have a new terminal. We don't care if Kansas Cityans like it.
Get used to it.
And get used to it. Mm-hmm. And so this whole imperialistic kind of idea I think certainly has turned some Kansas Cityans off. And then you add in the fact that many people like the airport for, you know, a number of good reasons. And then comes to, well, it's us against City Hall and off we go to the races.
Let's get our listeners involved here. We know this topic is very hot in Kansas City. We'd like to hear your views on whether we need a new terminal at KCI or not. 816-235-2888, our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR up to date. You know, Mayor James himself has said on this program that a new terminal is inevitable. Mm-hmm. We're heading there again, sort of the idea, he doesn't say this, but whether we need it or not, we're going there given the changes in the world since the thing was built in the early 70s.
Yeah, and I think as an elected official, you are programmed that way. You are programmed to want new stuff, new stuff to show off.
It shows progress,
right? It shows progress. It's jobs. I mean, I think to be realistic, that is something we ought to consider here. If you do create a lot of jobs, even though it's for a few years, hey, that's something for the local economy. I mean, you know, we've had a number of different big projects that have been built in the city, and most usually they are, you know, the Kauffman Performing Arts Center. That is an improvement on what we had. The terminal is probably a little bit different in that, sure, it'll be an improvement, and it would be up to $1.2 billion, although that's not all construction costs. But, I mean, it would be a lot of money pumped into the local economy. And, again, it's not a tax increase. It is which is another reason elected officials like it.
Yeah.
They would be able to go out and say, hey, the travelers are paying for this. And I think that's true. I mean, generally that is true. So that's probably a selling point for it. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Mayor James or a city official or anybody in the construction industry would be for a new terminal, because I think that is what they would consider to be progress.
You know, what happened in the whole funding of this thing, Yale? Because it seemed like, at least initially, the idea was what the FAA or whomever would sort of pay this lump sum of $1.2 billion, no problem.
Yeah.
But then suddenly that story changed, and it's sort of back on Kansas City's back. Again, taxes won't be increased,
right,
apparently, but fees on travelers and on tickets, I assume, and the whole
right
thing, all those would increase. Why that? What happened there?
Well, again, I looked back at one of the stories that was written early on, and it did indicate that federal funds be used to pay for a fairly large portion of it. And
yeah,
I thought it was the whole thing. Well, I don't remember it that way. I always remember that you're going to have the passenger fees being part of it. And in looking back at the stories, I never saw that, oh, it's 60-40 or whatever.
Right.
But I do remember having your thought, having the same thought you did about a month or so ago when Mark Van Loo was quoted in Dave Helling and Lynn Horsley's story in The Star that, well, we will have to go to voters to get bonds. Like, oh, now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
and I think it may have been, this may be, you know, my fault and, you know, media's fault. They always may have had to have that option. They always, if federal government's not going to pay for it all, but you're going to have to go to have some bonds at some point. I remember in 1988, one of the very first elections I covered in this town was an aviation bond issue, and it got defeated.
Mm-hmm.
It was the year when there were like 13 issues on the March 88 ballot. Money for police got defeated. Money for the KCI got defeated. A couple other high-profile things got defeated. Now, they eventually brought them all back. The police money got approved. The KCI bonds got approved. So none of these things would be a slam dunk, you know, all the time. We have had aviation bonds since 88 approved either one or two times. Water bonds always get approved. So I would think in just a normal course, people being sold, hey, we're going to get something new and it's not going to increase your taxes, the bond issue should be approved. But given all the love for KCI, at least certainly by a sector of the Kansas City community,
yeah,
we really don't know how big it is. We do know there have been some private polls taken that the current KCI would win against a new one. But we don't know exactly where that's going to go yet.
You know, you wonder sometimes, we have so many calls coming in. I'll take some calls,
sure,
in just a moment here. 816-235-2888, again, is the number. You know, there's so much love for KCI. Why not just demolish two of the three horseshoes, let Terminal A continue,
yeah,
and call it a day?
Well, to be blunt, I've gotten probably, and you have too, 30 different ideas from people. Well, you just come in and go underground and do this. All right. Some of those may or may not be viable. And that's why when James, and I kind of got a tip on this, you know, a couple months ago, James was going to appoint some kind of commission to look at it. I thought, that's actually a good idea. And, you know, people make fun of Richard Berkeley's commissions and Kay Barnes's commissions.
Yeah, Dave Helling was sort of saying one more commission from
the
mayor.
Okay, you know, well, too bad, Dave. I mean, these commissions sometimes get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when they have a recommendation, then people go, oh, okay, I see how the process worked. And, you know, you hope it wasn't a preordained thing. But when that commission comes forward, that's what I want to look at. I want them to say, hey, here are three or four ideas. And, yeah, we had this consultant look at it. And here are the reasons that actually it might work, or here's why it won't work.
But this thing is sort of preordained, though, is it? Isn't the train – hasn't the train sort of left the station to something? You get the feeling we're building a new terminal up there. And I could be wrong,
yeah,
but that's the sense you get watching all this.
No, that's why I started out by saying I do think there are good reasons to do it. However, if there's going to be a public vote at some point, and right now there appears to be a need for a public vote, you'll have to do two things. One, have this commission meet and essentially at some point at the end go, no, we've looked at everything. We have fairly concluded there's a good reason for it. That's one thing I think needs to absolutely happen for a new terminal to happen. And then you have to have the campaign. And then campaign goes on and says, you'll get a new terminal. It won't cost you tax money. Yes, you'll create jobs. And by the way, you won't lose the convenience, which is what everybody talks about. You'll be able to walk 75 yards and actually get to the gate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about, oh, I don't really want to eat food there and shop there. Well, but a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the times have changed, mm-hmm, from 20, 30, 40 years ago when KCI was built.
You know, just one last thing. You know, the other idea that sort of came out early on was that, hey, if you build the new airport, lots more flights in and out,
right,
of KCI.
Right.
Now, again, Lynn Horsley had a great story in the paper a week or two ago, sort of debunking that idea. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of where we are here, right? Don't expect a lot more airline traffic. In fact, some cities that have built new terminals have found that their air traffic continued to decline, not increase.
Right. And in the first column I wrote about this, probably about 2 or 3 months ago, that was either the first or second question I asked. Can Mark Manlow and the Aviation Department guarantee that we will get more flights? And I'd like to see some statistics about what has happened to other ones. Lynn did that. The Pitch Weekly also had a good story that delved into what's happened at other airports. And you know, to the defense, one time I'll defend Mark Manlow. He says, I can't control what the airlines do, which is true.
Right.
The airlines might look at KCI's new airport and go terminal and go, hey, that's great, actually. You know, they're right in the middle of the country, and we are going to increase flights. That might happen. But they're not going to make a commitment for what they're going to do probably a year from now, much less 5 years from now when a new terminal's done. I mean, the aviation industry is fickle. It's costly and it's fickle, and yet here we are in Kansas City trying to make a $1.2 billion decision for a fickle industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I mm-hmm. you know, that is something that pulls you back from going, well, yeah, let's just give in and give them that. But, you know, the last thing I'd say is this is also reminds me to a degree of the whole dispute we had over Truman Sports Complex. We remodeled Truman Sports Complex, and I think that was the right decision. We didn't have to build the whole thing.
It wasn't, by the way, but you're entitled to your
right,
opinion.
Okay, thank you.
Should have been downtown.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're not going to get the football stadium downtown. But anyway, we remodeled.
Park downtown.
You could have the baseball park.
That was a huge, huge, huge missed opportunity.
Okay, so we remodeled, but the point being that there was a discussion about it where people said, oh, yeah, we either need new or that, and at the end of the day, voters did decide. I guess that's the thing. Eventually, however they make the decision, I do hope voters get to decide it.
Yeah, well, David Glass and Mayor Barnes then could have put that thing downtown, and they went the other way. Lots of phone calls here about KCI and the need for a new airport. Yael Abulhaka is our guest from the Stars editorial board. Let's go to Mike from Shawnee. Mike, you're on the air. Good morning. Mike, you there? Let's go to Beth from Kansas City, Missouri. Beth, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, my feeling is that somewhere in between spending over $1 billion and not doing anything, there is something that would work. And it seems to me that instead of building a new terminal, it would make sense to look at a conscientious rehab. There's so many aspects of Kansas City Airport that are fantastically convenient, great looking, I think iconic to the area. And if bathrooms and a simple like security flow and having a few more places to be able to buy a few things are the major issues, it would seem that those things in correlation with a shuttle bus system that makes sense for people would make so much more sense than trying to completely redo something that isn't essentially broken, and that somewhere in the middle would create jobs, would bring commerce, would update in a way that makes sense, but also wouldn't create the same kind of financial crisis if the payoff, in fact, doesn't exist.
Okay. And I'd say one more time, and I agree on the rehab look, at least the idea. If this Mayor Slade James's commission does not look at rehab ideas, then they're making a big mistake, because they have to look at that. That's what people like this caller are saying. I've got this rehab idea, this, and what they need to do is say, "Well, no, that won't work because," and then you know, lay out reasons, or say, "Oh, we never thought of that."
Right.
I
do think they need to look at that.
Spectacularly, very skilled architects, very smart people in the city that I think, given the current state, could sit together and figure out how to make it work, even if it meant taking away the functionality of the above-ground parking and creating specific, like, mini-mall kiosk-style things existed outside of that in the horseshoes and create, like, a circular pod where people could walk underneath to it, get the services they need, not have to alter the existing structure, and just create them in a way where they fit into the horseshoes. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like saying I'm going to rip down a beautiful old building and put up something else because I think that somebody may want that.
What do you think, Yael?
Well, one of Kansas City's famed architects, Bob Birkebeil, is like the co-chair of this committee. So, I mean, obviously, if they look at the rehabs, and I must say the counter is a lot of these rehabs sound easy. Well, you know, let's put all the concessions underground. Wait a minute. Concessions underground? You start talking about excavation and
that's
all that
a
stuff.
Lot of
and
money.
It could be a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's why, and also even just the whole thing of going underground to get something is, wait a minute, I really want to be underground here.
Yeah.
So, but look at all these ideas do have to be looked at. I don't, you know, the legitimate ones.
Let's go back to some calls here. Patrick from Kansas City, Missouri. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to speak
with
you.
Good to have you, Patrick. Yeah.
And I work with the Show Me Institute, and we've done quite a bit of research on this. And what we've found that you gentlemen have touched on just a little bit is that the airline industry is going through all sorts of transformations, and that what we're seeing here in Kansas City isn't anything we can control.
Mm-hmm.
You talked earlier about airports that have rebuilt and actually seen less traffic, because Cincinnati is a perfect example of that. And it's not because of your city or where your city is located necessarily, the amenities there. It's because fuel costs account for about 90% of each ticket price. Short-distance hubs are much more expensive. So they're looking to larger, bigger hubs. And no matter how beautiful our airport is, if it doesn't make sense to take off and land from there, we're not going to get the business that we think is out there.
Now, Patrick, why doesn't it make more sense for Kansas City to become a hub, given what Yale said a few minutes ago, reminding us again that Kansas City obviously is smack dab in the middle of the country? Our city just screams out to become an airport hub, given our geographic location. At least that's how it seems to me on a very base level, I guess.
You know, that's something that's a great question. I'd love to interview airlines and find out why that is. Geographically, we may be in the center, but population-wise, we may not be. And it may make much more sense for airlines to go out of Chicago and Dallas like they are. You know, something else, at the city council meeting where Van Loo presented his research, we spent a lot of time listening to how Wichita and Branson were taking away our market share, but we find out afterwards that that's because Wichita and Branson are paying airlines to land there.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that a new airport won't fix. And one other point I want to make is that we talk about, and Gail's mentioned repeatedly, and other reporters do too, is that we're going to have a vote on this. But that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
Councilman Ford said in November to the Star that the citizens are going to get a new airport whether they want it or not, and the city regularly floats special obligation bonds, which are bonds that do not require a vote of the people, and it would not surprise me at all if the aviation department tries to issue a special obligation bond using the airport land itself as to secure the loan, and mm-hmm. voters never get a say on it.
Right. Patrick, thank you for the call.
Yeah. Sure.
That would surprise me, and I can be surprised over 25 years, but that would surprise me given what Mayor James and others have said is, hey, we want to have people involved in this. We want to know what's going on. Now, that's true. The special obligation bond thing has been brought up as it's either the boogeyman or it's actually going to occur. You know, we're going to go around voters. But I think the elected officials would do that at their own peril, given what we know about how people feel about the airport.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date. We're joined this morning by the Star's Yael Abulhaka. We're talking about the idea for a new terminal up at KCI. Now joining us is Dan Coffran. He's chairman of the Citizens Association. Dan, good morning. Always good to have you.
Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Great, Dan.
I called in I agree with Yael that the aviation department's presentation of this proposal has left a lot to be desired. And there's a lot of miscommunication out there. The Citizens Association is doing a special forum on this in July in cooperation with the Kansas City Public Library. And we precede our forums with doing a lot of research on our own, publish a fact sheet, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We're in the midst of that right now. And this is not an easy question. We got off on the wrong foot in part, I think, talking about whether this will increase flights to KCI. As I understand it, this is not, it won't increase flights to KCI, and it's not being sold as that. Basically, the aviation department has about six different problems with the existing facility that need somehow to be addressed, as they explain it, and increasing flights is not one of that. One of the earlier callers are correct about that. Anyway, it's a complicated question and should be thoughtfully considered. Basically, we have some needs up there that need to be tended to. It's not just the the security checkpoints. There are problems with the facilities themselves, deterioration.
Yeah.
The parking garages have problems. We have an environmental problem, mm-hmm. disposing of ethylene glycol, which is used to de-ice mm-hmm. the planes.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, you can fix those half dozen or so separate things over the course of 8 or 9 years for $600 to $800 million, or you can do the whole thing anew for $1.2 billion, they're saying now, actually in less time, they say, and address some other issues. The overriding issue is that the airline industry, as the earlier caller indicated, is very much up in the air, like many things in the world. And we have to basically figure out how to proceed when we're facing a very uncertain future,
after right.
what you build. So it's a tough one.
Dan, always good to have you. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
You bet. That's Dan Coffrin, chairman of the Citizens Association. Mohammed from Kansas City, Missouri, you're on Up Today. Good morning.
Good morning. And thanks for taking my call. I'm a taxi driver, and I work at the airport. Last 5 years I've been here. Most of the time we get complaints about customers. They don't. As soon as they came out from the terminal, they want a taxi, and there's no taxi available. They have to call. And the signs are now really, it's not feasible. So they don't know what to do, and they're just roaming around. And there's a lot of illegal limos and illegal taxi that's just roaming around inside the airport. There's no, and so when we talk to the aviation department, we ask them, to put us in the airport, a terminal. And they say the way the airport's built is kind of horseshoes, and there's no way we can put the taxi drivers at the terminal. So it's for me, I believe it will be better if the Kansas City built a new airport where they have up and down, like the top they can pick up and lower level will be the drop off, and it's security also. You enter one entrance and you go out one entrance, out. But here there's three terminals where it's hard to secure. It's today's, the venue is outdated, and the Kansas City needs a new airport. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mohammed, what do you hear from new visitors to Kansas City about our airport? What do they say about it?
90% when they come out from terminal and, finally they get a taxi after a few minutes, 5, 6, whatever minutes, we go there and then we say, I have a business to go there. I have only a few minutes. Can you please take me out? What is this airport? There's no taxi available. We have to call a taxi. What is this? They complain a lot. I used to work at the Chicago airport, Midway airport, O'Hare airport. There's taxi right there in front of the terminal. Right the way you get your taxi and you go to the business.
Right.
But here, there's no way you can see a taxi. So, and the airport, the way it's built, is hard to, it's horseshoes around, and they see if we put, there's no way we can beat you at the terminal. So it's really, Kansas City needs a new airport, if it's want to compete with, other cities.
Mohammed, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to David from Kansas City, Missouri. David, you're on the program. Good morning. You there, David? Let's go to Mike from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Yes. My question is, let's start over. As I remember from reading the paper, the whole thing about the need at the airport originated on having three times as much security as you would have if you had one thing. I mean, one entrance, let me call it that way. And that seems like it's kind of disappeared to a certain degree. And my other question is, wasn't that the origin of the consideration of having one terminal? And the other thing is, who pays the cost of security at the airport today?
Well, the answer to the last question is the users pay. You're paying for that with your airplane ticket and other things like that, but it's not coming out of general tax fund.
Mm-hmm.
But the And to your first question, yes, the security, the concern that we have more security and we have to pay for more security is one of the reasons. Now, as Dan Coffin mentioned, you also have the environmental concerns. You also have the, the buildings are 40 years old, more than 40 years old. So you're going to have a lot of upkeep you have to do. There's deterioration, water, all that kind of stuff. So
Although we dumped a bunch of money into all three terminals, a decade ago.
Yeah, and that was good to the extent of, the renovations, if you remember the whole floor thing. But that's why, when Dan mentions, hey, it could cost, $600, $800 million to revamp it again. That would probably be accurate, except you know, 10 years from now, you'd still have the same, well, we have two horse shows, it's a two-ring circus or three-ring circus, however many terminals are open at the time.
Yeah. All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go to David from Kansas City, Missouri. David, good morning to you.
Well, my comment is I love KCI. It's just easy to get in and out of. If I've got a connecting flight, you don't have to walk forever. I fly frequently, Dayton, Memphis, Miami. These are all older landlocked terminals, and you still have to walk forever. So it's, you know, KCI's got its downfalls. It doesn't have great restaurants, but, you know, I'm not there, you know, a lot of time to eat. If we did have a couple of decent restaurants, I think that'd be great for our pass-through traffic. You know, as far as shopping goes, I just don't see a huge need for a Polo or, you know, some of these high-end, you know, shops that a lot of the airports seem to love.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to shop, you know, I'd go to Minneapolis. Minneapolis has got some of the best, you know, boutique shops I've ever seen, you know, whether it's even at the plaza.
Right.
But, you know, that's not what I'm there for, you know. I think, yes, KCI needs some updating, but as far as the utility of it, it's a great shop. I mean, it's, you know, you get in and out.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it. You too. Bye. Khalid from Overland Park takes a different viewpoint. Khalid, good morning.
Morning to you. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Well, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I think the whole issue, the whole sentimental attachment to the current airport is mainly a local thing. I'm a frequent traveler. I travel out of the country. I travel within the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And if I am being honest, our airport here in Kansas City is a cake. It's old. It's run down. And if we are to compete with other cities, or if we really want to compete internationally, we need a new terminal. Not only a terminal, but probably just a new airport altogether. So, you know, the facilities are old. It's a crumpy, old, dingy building, and it's quite a shame for Kansas City. And I have family coming in from who come in from abroad quite often, too. And once they get to the airport, it's actually it's laughable for us to consider that an international airport. Mm-hmm. We really do need new facilities.
Khalid, thank you for the good call. Yeah. You know, Yale, there's a group out there called Friends of KCI who say they're gathering signatures of registered voters to place an initiative on a city ballot. The proposed ordinance would prohibit the city from pursuing any plan without voter approval. How successful do you think this group is going to be, and how inevitable is it that voters, either because of this group or some other way, are going to have a say in what happens here?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with, I've asked the city attorney about whether that's legal, what they're proposing, and did not have an answer a couple days ago. So we'll see if that gets... the petition process gets underway, and I think they would get enough signatures for it. And then whether it would, you know, interfere with a KCI ballot issue, who would know? But I'll state one more time. I mean, as much as I can do as an editorial writer, is that the city, if they want to build a new terminal and have it succeed, has to ask the voters to do that.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll move on to some different topics with Yale Abuhaka. We'll talk about Mayor James at the midpoint of his term. We'll talk about local control of a Kansas City, Missouri police department. And later on this hour, Brian McTavish joins us with his weekend to-do list. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed yesterday's conversation about summer reading for kids, you can find those and all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. Well, the colorful creations of Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera offer a window into Mexican culture and history. Tomorrow on the program, we talk with the Nelson Atkins, Julian Zugasagoitia, and others about a new exhibit at the museum. Also, the latest installment of our 90-mile view. Well, this hour, Yael Abulhaka is here from the Kansas City Star's editorial board. You also see him on Ruckus on KCPT. You know, Yael, the mayor, Mayor Sly James, is at the midpoint of his term, his first term, and maybe a second. Give us a report card for where he stands right now. How's he doing? What's your sense?
I think he's doing quite well. I mean, the energy level is obviously higher. You have to remember he followed Mark Funkhauser, who was kind of a dispiriting four-year term in Kansas City. You have to look at the fact that he got a half-cent sales tax increase passed last year, more or less overwhelmingly. The voters just renewed the health levy. So the actual functioning of city government with revenues is doing fine. You know, he's on Twitter. He goes to events. A very upbeat guy. Now, in private, he's a little bit more, I hear, brusque and, you know, with people. But, hey, some of us are a little bit different in private than we are in public. And that's okay because, in this regard, what is he supposed to be? He is the titular head of Kansas City government and kind of the city. I think he's got a great presence. If I had to compare, I've done these comparisons before of, you know, Berkeley and Barnes and Cleaver and various people and how they've done. Usually the first term is spent kind of getting your sea legs.
Yeah.
I mean, Cleaver did not have a great first term. Barnes did not have a great
Barnes
first term.
Barnes did not either, yeah.
If I had to compare of those, and certainly Funkhauser did not have a great first term because he didn't get reelected, but you have a guy who's doing very well, and obviously at this point, if somebody said, is he going to run for a second term win? I'd have to say yes, absolutely.
You know, he's a hard guy not to like. If you're around him very much, he's just the kind of guy you sort of gravitate toward.
Yeah, and my hesitance on this always is I've known a lot of people like that over the years, as you have too, of course, covering politics. But at the end of the day, you want something done. And that's one of the reasons, he will remind me of this, one of the reasons I opposed the sales tax that voters approved last year was I didn't think he was getting things done on, for example, the police health insurance, the pension issue, a huge issues. And it turns out here we are, you know, a year later, and they're just now getting the pension thing done. Now, they did get the health care thing done. So my thought is always, yes, it's great to have a cheerleader. You want to have an effective cheerleader. And I will say that with the health care thing done on police, I'm all at least supposed to go into effect in September. Pension issue getting resolved, it's the effectiveness is there. What he will say publicly and privately is it's a lot harder to do those things than editorial writers think.
Well, absolutely. And if you sit back and look at things from 10,000 feet, you still see a school district that struggles.
Right.
You see an east side very much struggling, mired in decay. And, you know, the poverty, obviously a big issue. Crime, you just wrote a very good column about crime, and the stats speak for themselves about what's going on in town. And the mayor arguably doesn't have much to do with the school district itself. We should point that out. But yet, you know, the city is still struggling on some very key key vantage points here.
Well, yes, the city is. And as a longtime resident, the one thing that I continue to remind people is we have the Northland going for us. And the Northland, with its population growth, with mid to higher income population growth, is going to be a key economic engine for the city. All right. So does that help solve some of the problems south of the river? Well, I think it does. One, it produces tax revenue.
Well, sure it does.
But it also produces a city that is, hey, we have a chance here. Our population is going, oh, okay. So even though there has been an outflow from the core, you have these slow, you know, regrowths. I mean, I am stunned. And even though I wrote 10 or 15 years ago, we need more housing downtown. Holy cow, we have more housing downtown, and we had 6,700 people in 2002. We have 19,900 in 2012. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And they're, you know, we didn't need no stinking ballpark. We just needed more housing. But let's not get diverted. I do think it's one of those things of let's make sure we look at that. Let's make sure we do take into account the east side problems you mentioned, the crime problems, the decay problems. You go down a street where there's three or four occupied homes. That's not acceptable.
There's some breaking news this hour. You mentioned the ballpark. The Kansas City Royals have announced today that George Brett and Pedro Grifol will assume the interim hitting coach and Major League special assignment coaching roles respectively, effective tonight when the Royals play in St. Louis at 7:15. In a corresponding move, the Royals have reassigned coaches Jack Maloff and Andre David to the minor league organization. So a minor shakeup with the Royals.
Taking the fall for the I'm sorry for all my Twitter followers, but I have to get this in. The Royals are 4-19 since Ned Yost pulled James Shields with a 1-0 lead in the top of the ninth inning when they were going for the sweep of the Chicago White Sox, and we've been in free fall ever since. Causation.
That was a tough call. I remember that that decision very well. Going back to Mayor James, he pushed for and got this beginner streetcar line for the city downtown. Good idea or not?
I'm a general supporter of streetcar. I think that it's another downtown amenity. It's on the, in the given scope of things, it's not hugely expensive. It will be an amenity that will cost money. Don't get me wrong. But it's something that will help downtown. I don't use it for transportation. I don't ever look at it as a transit improvement. It's an economic development improvement. If 2, 3, 5, 8 companies go down there and more residential go down there over the next 10 or 15 years because they have this easy way of getting around downtown, then it's a boom, boom win for the city. And that's one of the reasons I always supported some kind of light rail system, at least, because it could help downtown and the core. If that light rail eventually goes out to the plaza, holy cow, that could really help Midtown. Again, it's economic development, it's potential economic development.
And Midtown needs a little help.
Yeah, it does.
With 35 messed up, I've been driving home sometimes down Main, and that Midtown area needs some help.
Yeah. Although, I did a piece, Steve, the time flies, probably about 15, 18 years ago, on the Paseo on Main. I remember driving down. I went block by block by block and wrote long pieces about what would need to rehab there. And on both of them, some steps have been taken. I mean, there are. If you look on Main right now, there are a couple different companies that have come in there and have rehabbed a building here and there. And it's better than it was in some stretches. And then another stretch will fall off, kind of fall off the radar. So, but that main core project to improve the infrastructure along Main, the new streetlights, the new curbs, all that stuff, that has been a winner. I mean, I think that's a key improvement.
Do you really foresee 10, 15, 20 years from now that this streetcar line will, in fact, have grown and expanded beyond this beginning phase, which takes you from the River Market up to Crown Center, roughly?
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, do you see it going to the plaza? Do you see it going to the east side or not?
I would just, based on traffic flow and all that stuff, the two places it could go would be to the plaza and then basically along Troost somewhere on the east side. I mean, those are the KCATA's has very high ridership in both those kind of general areas.
Right here to KCUR. Do me a favor.
That's right. Yeah, you could.
Hop on the streetcar and go to work. Yeah.
Get here. But so will it extend? I would think, it opens in 2015, pending all court cases. So, again, you're probably looking at 5 to 8 years from when a next line might go. My thought would be, the plaza or something going south certainly is the next step logically. You have the income levels, you have the housing, you have the need for transportation. And then probably the next one would be something that goes east.
The Star's Yale Abouhaq is our guest. He's with the editorial board. I'm going to catch local control of police before you leave us, Yale. Where do you come down on that? So much conversation now. Kansas City, the last city in the country that lacks local control of its police department. St. Louis is in the process of making that transition right now. Yeah. Where do we need to be on that?
Yeah, I stand firmly on the ground that we have to get rid of state control and adopt local control. Every city in the nation with a professional force that has lower crime rates is local control. There was only one other city, and it's St. Louis, that had state control, and they got rid of it through the state vote, and they will now have local control in September. Certainly, it's not a panacea for the crime rate. It's not a panacea for anything. But let's have more accountability with the mayor, with the elected officials, heck, with the city staff, and finally, even with the police department, that it has nothing to do with Jeff City anymore. It's going to be here controlled locally.
It's taken us so long to move to this point because is it simply because of the Pendergast legacy? Is that why we're still having this conversation?
Well partly, but also, and I found this out over the years of taking a strong stance for local control, there are a number of civic movers and shakers, and not just one, but there are a number who think, hey, if we do this, we're going to have politicians dabbling in the police department, which, of course, we might. But so could every other city in the nation, and yet every other city in the nation does not have, you know, people going indicted for trying to get the police chief to do something they don't want to do. So will we have problems with local control? Yes. Do we have problems with state control? Yes. I'd rather have it locally. I do think that the civic community has held us back on this issue, and I think when Mayor James's commission gets together, and I hope, recommend, let's go for local control, then we can move beyond that.
Well, Yale, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for
Great.
Coming in.
I was glad to be here, Steve.
Great job. That's the Star's Yale Abulhaq with the Star Editorial Board.